Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Some great picks by Trump today for his new administration. And Alan Lichtman, the one-time Nostradamus, everybody said. This guy could predict every election. Well, he's whining and crying because he got it wrong, because he got it so wrong, and none of these people can figure it out. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 2 days, we'll be together with Jimmy Failla in Media PA. We're taking over the Media Theater. It's going to be a lot of fun. Not many tickets left, so get your tickets right now by going to 1210wphg.com. You don't want to miss this. It's going to be a blast. We'll have a lot of fun. We'll have some jokes. We'll make some jokes. We'll tell some jokes. We'll have a lot of jokes, and it'll be a good night, all right? So make sure you do that. Just do it today. Go to 1210wphg.com, 1210wphg.com. So this guy, Alan Lichtman, who he claims to have gotten every election right, which is not actually true because he really kept changing his mind in 2016 all the time, and he got 2000 wrong. He just claims that he got it right, even though the Supreme Court stopped the count. So that's what his excuse is for 2000. The guy has been wrong on all of this stuff. Anyway, this is what he says for the reason that he got 2024 so wrong.
And the keys, because the keys depend upon a rational, pragmatic electorate deciding based on governance whether the incumbent party should get four more years. And we've seen the explosion of some trends that have existed before, but not to this extent. Disinformation. You know, Elon Musk is I don't know how many hundreds of billions he has. He has been the director of misinformation. 2 billion views of his spreading of disinformation, not just about the economy, but about immigrants, about minorities. We've never seen disinformation at this scale. Next, we have never seen to this scale the agitation of three trends that have been very deeply embedded in American history. Misogyny, racism, and xenophobia. You know, the first anti-immigrant law was 1798, and Donald Trump wants to revive it.
Wow. Wow. See, it's Elon Musk's fault. The misinformation czar. It's racism. It's xenophobia. It's not that America loved the fact that for 4 years, prices were low, America was secure, the border was secure, and we didn't have any wars. No, it's none of those things. None of those things. It's racism, xenophobia, and Elon Musk spreading of misinformation. That's what it is. Now, I got to be honest with you. I said this the other night, too. Justine Bateman is a national treasure. She really is. I think she might be the funniest person on social media right now. And I don't know if she intends to be or not. I really don't. If she intends to be so funny. I mean, she's hysterical. I'm guessing she does. I'm guessing that she's as funny as we think she is. But there was a whole thing where she's come out and she has said, you know, the Democrat Party, it became the woke party. And the woke party needs to go, like the Whigs and the Federalists. It needs to be a thing of the past, a relic of the past. And I love the fact, too, that what she does now is she trolls these videos of lefties melting down. And so, for example, this guy goes on social media today and posts a video about how he and his partner, because they're gay, are terrified of the two MAGA houses next to them, the two neighbors next to them. So I'm going to play the clip, and I'm going to just read you what Justine Bateman said in her trolling of this guy, because it's epic. So just listen to this.
So our new neighborhood has quite a few very outspoken Trump supporters, and the two biggest ones happen to be the people on either side of our new house. And we've been pretty shy about being a gay couple, being liberal, because we wanted to start things off on good terms with them and not give them any reason to not like us. But clearly they weren't worried about scaring us with those flags. And after the election, I kind of just am like, screw it. Instead of just hiding like I want to, it's time for us to be proud of who we are and show the neighborhood.
He holds up a pride flag, hoist it up onto a ladder or flagpole. And then you see the...
I hope that makes someone feel less alone. I'm scared. Run!
She writes, the actor is perfectly cast and uses his tentative vocalization to great effect. The actor is perfectly cast and uses his tentative vocalization to great effect. The camera moves include dynamic movement, creating an immersive experience for the audience. The director brings a number of audio accents into the piece, like the crowing rooster, furthering the immersive feel. We are there. There's a jump cut at 34 that continues the dialogue, but puts us later in the day, an elegant decision by the editor. Good inclusion of the pride flag insert shout. Nice comedic button at the end with I'm scared. Run, run. Eek! The piece ends with the camera retreating while the actor runs towards us. The audience is left with the character's exhilaration. Fiend. As in, you know, final, as in end. That's great. And her point is that all of these hysterical videos are just that. They are nothing more than hysterical, phony, manufactured outrage. Because there's nothing for these people to actually be afraid of. Nothing for these people to actually be scared of. It's all manufactured. It's not real. None of it is real. It's all a fugazi. And she's calling them out on this, which I think is great. She's literally calling them out on that fact. And she has a number of these, too. She takes the classic white woman. This woman right here. I'm hearing from many female Kamala Harris voters.
Please go check your ballot status. I just checked mine and my vote did not count. I just made a video about how to do it. I'm going to link it on here and I need you to comment and interact with this video. Not a like, a comment, because comments push a video out. TikTok immediately put my other instructional video to 200 view jail. So only 200 people are going to see it. I need you to comment so other people see this and other people go check their ballots.
Okay. And then this is what she says about that woman. She says, the production designer knocked it out of the park here. The way of scissors is a tremendous background. Breaking from the past, cutting ties, snipping off the ends, because there's scissors behind the woman, trimming the edges, a multitude of metaphors. The hair and the wardrobe are modern and fresh. The camera angle has the scissor wall at a raking angle, a welcome departure from the flat backgrounds customarily used. The actress delivers a succinct and informative collection of social media algorithmic tips. The screenwriter seamlessly continues the character's ballot concern with creator guidelines. Just mocking all these people as being phony. Phony and hysterical. And I mean, she goes on. She's just finding all these. But I'll play. I'll just do one more, and then this is your classic crazy white liberal here.
Oh boy, I'm not ready for the world. I just came back from the grocery store, and I saw a white woman with a Trump bumper sticker on her car, and I told her exactly what I thought of her. I called her a dumb B word. I don't even like that word, but. So maybe I should stay home a little while longer because I'm not ready. Yeah. Anyway, I hope you guys are doing okay.
She says, the vibrating camera technique evokes tone of nervous excitement because the whole screen is shaking. It's as if there is an earthquake, shaking what's known and giving way to the unknown. The setting is unfortunately lacking. The director doesn't take the opportunity to counter nor align the place with the earthquake uncertainty being established. The dialogue tells of a vigorous encounter in a market parking lot, and yet we don't see it. Intercutting the event would work well here. The camera is suddenly still at the end for the I hope you guys are doing okay, separating it from the rest of the piece. A coda, really. It leaves the viewer unsettled and yet reassured. And she's also mocking them for all their grammar, too. It's wonderful. It really is. It's wonderful. But how did Democrats get to this place? You might ask yourself, how did they get to a place where Justine Bateman from, I mean, Mallory, she was Mallory on I mean, that show, its name escapes me right now. Family Ties, duh. She was my childhood crush. How do we get to a place where Justine Bateman is mocking people on her own side of the political aisle and just bashing these people and humiliate? How? She said, for anyone in the press trying to imply I'm on your team, I do not care about political teams. I'm merely in favor of each individual freely living a life however they want, without impairing any other individual from freely living their own life. And that means no more woke oppression. with threats of destroying people's lives professionally and societally because they do not want to think like you. No more trying to control what other people think and feel. No more deciding someone is a heinous person just because they want to discuss alternatives to a woke position. It's over. And I am fascinated that this far down the road in the creator economy, with all the ring lights, tripods, and editing equipment available, that people don't have better production values in their online videos. Additionally, I have long been fascinated by the decision that many make to film themselves crying and upset. This has been a practice online for many years. As I am a filmmaker, I'm curious about the origin motivation for them. Do they have an upsetting experience, start crying, and then have the thought of, oh, where's my phone? I've got to film myself crying, and then prop the camera up and sit back down in the frame and continue crying? Afterwards, they stop the recording, play it back, maybe do another take, maybe edit it together, and then they make this decision to post it, to distribute it internationally on their account. Or perhaps they decided that this best content to post for their brave new audience is a crying video, and they want this to be their brand. So they set up a camera on a tripod and sit in front of it and make themselves cry? It would never occur to me to record myself crying and then post it. I think it's a bizarre practice. And that's exactly it. This is all manufactured hysteria. It's a manufactured hysteria. Let's face it, if Kamala Harris had won, we would all be sitting around going, oh, this country's screwed. But we wouldn't be crying about it. We wouldn't be, because we're adults. I mean, Jimmy Kimmel coming out and crying the other night, whether or not that was real or manufactured, I think a lot of this fake outrage, the fake hysteria, the crying and everything else is all done because they see an opportunity here. They can build followers and build their brand by being the sky is falling and I'm broken and I share how broken you are. I mean, literally, when Stephen Colbert came out the other night to his audience in a cold open and said, hi, how you doing? I guess if you're a regular to this show, you're not doing so good. If you're a regular viewer to this show, you're not doing so good, which is true. That means the people that regularly watch the show probably do have brain damage. But this is exactly the point. Oh, and by the way, now you've got a bunch of people on the left calling for Hunter Biden to be pardoned, including the women on The View today saying pardon Hunter. But the outrage, the fake outrage, and that's what it is. It's fake outrage. And now you've got an actress like Justine Bateman who has come out and said, this has to stop. Woke needs to die. The article from Fox News, Family Ties star Justine Bateman slams un-American period over the last 4 years and says common sense has been discarded. Decompressing from walking on eggshells for the past 4 years, it's time. In the wake of a sweeping Republican electoral victory, filmmaker and actress Justine Bateman said on Friday she had been walking on eggshells the past 4 years, a period she called un-American. I have found the last 4 years to be an almost intolerable period, a very un-American period in that any questioning, any opinions, any likes or dislikes that were held up to a very limited list of permitted positions in order to assess acceptability. Bateman, who appeared on the hit TV show Family Ties and Desperate Housewives, added further that she's never known such conditions to be an American environment. It's an environment I have encountered in smaller groupings, churches, private clubs, cliques, but never before as a national blanket. It has been suffocating. Common sense was discarded. Intellectual discussion was demonized. She went on to say permitted position, behavior, and speech was allowed. Complete intolerance became almost a religion, and one's professional and social life was threatened almost constantly. Those that spoke otherwise were ruined as a warning to others. Their destruction was displayed in the town square of social media for all to see. Bateman's comments came after President-elect Donald Trump's landslide victory on Election Day over Vice President Kamala Harris in sweeping every battleground state, securing the Electoral College as well as the popular vote. Harris congratulated Trump over the phone on Wednesday morning and later blah, 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 blah. Just skip it back to the party about Justine Bateman. The Republican Party's victory has prompted many discussions within the Democratic Party, including Harris-Waltz surrogates, to self-reflect on what led to the outcome, especially considering that a Republican has not won both the popular vote and the Electoral College in over 20 years. For instance, Senator Bernie Sanders accused the Democratic Party of abandoning the working class. Bateman added that the suppression of speech over the past 4 years has stifled the country from any forward movement because it shut out independent thinkers and cultural and intellectual innovators. This was the hashtag #MeToo movement, where every effort was made to divert attention to oneself instead of recognizing how one contributes to the whole. This was the era of trying to exercise control over those who did not want to follow the crowd and has their own ideas about what they needed to do. When you starve a society of those called to be independent thinkers, and intellectual innovators, you rob that society of any forward movement. Those that tried to impose that control maintained a kind of hall monitor position by threatening others with damning labels like sexist, racist, homophobic, etc., when the free thinking and questioning was nothing of the sort. However, the mob mentality that followed caused these social convictions when there was often no evidence to support them. I am neither one extreme or the other, but I am one of the millions of people who believe in common sense and that everyone should be free to live their lives however they want, unless that freedom interferes with someone else's freedom to live their own life. That's it. Good for her, by the way. I mean, really, like, I'm genuinely impressed by this. I'm genuinely impressed by Justine Bateman coming out and having this revelation and speaking out on this. And isn't everything she says so spot on in terms of what the Democrat Party has become? The woke party that silences anyone who opposes them and then goes on to destroy people, mock them, belittle them, humiliate them, and everything else that they do. And they got crushed. They got crushed as a response. And that's the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariaDental, VanariaDental.com, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. And thanks to everyone who turned out for his Veterans Breakfast on Saturday here on this Veterans Day, as we say thank you and acknowledge our veterans. Dr. Mike did that on Saturday with a wonderful day to honor those men and women who've served our country. And we are grateful to him for doing so. He's a great guy. He's a terrific guy and a great friend, and he really cares, and that's very obvious. And if you went to his Veterans Breakfast, you got to see that for yourself. Now, listen, crime is still a thing. It may not be once Donald Trump becomes president, but I think it's going to take some time, especially in blue places. I think crime is always going to be part of society. The difference is that with Trump as president, it's not going to be welcomed and ushered in. But that doesn't mean you still don't have to lock your doors and secure your business and your facility. And that's where my friends at McCausland Lock and Alarm come in. They are the absolute best when it comes to protecting you and your business. They'll help you control access. That means a state-of-the-art key card system. So you determine who gets where in your facility and when. And incredible camera systems so that you can keep an eye on everything. Listen, there are a lot of companies out there that do this for you, but there's only one McCausland Lock and Alarm. And speaking of Veterans Day, McCausland always sponsors our Travis Manion Foundation Radiothon. Tom McCausland believes in giving back and helping our veterans, and that's very important to me as well. And if you ever have any issues, you're not going to get trapped in an 800 number not knowing what button to push. You're going to call somebody local, probably Tom himself, to help you through it. So if you're serious about protecting your facilities, and you need to be in this day and age, you need to seriously consider my buddy, Tom McCausland, McCausland Lock and Alarm. Call them today and find out what they can do to secure your facilities and your future. 610-430-1500. 610-430-1500. McCausland Lock and Alarm. Securing your business, securing your future, the way Tom McCausland has done for so many people in our area. This is a local guy who does it right and to make sure that you and your facility are protected and that the people that you want to have access and to wear and the camera systems to keep an eye on it. That's what you need. McCausland Lock and Alarm.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Oh, yeah, tomorrow night's going to be, Wednesday night's going to be a lot of fun. Tomorrow night, what am I saying? It's been a long show. What can I tell you? Wednesday night's going to be fun with Jimmy Failla and me together on stage at the Media Theater. 1210WPHC.com. Not many tickets left. Do it today. Do it now. 1210WPHC.com. And you will be set. By the way, Mattel, gosh, I can't believe this. This is amazing. Mattel's Wicked movie. There's a movie coming out called Wicked. All right, I don't. It's a spinoff of The Wizard of Oz. I'm pretty sure it's based on the play. There was a Broadway play many years ago called Wicked. It was the Good Witch and the Bad Witch, and how they were like they were sisters or something. I forget, but how the Good Witch became good and the Bad Witch became bad, and obviously the Bad Witch registered as a Democrat, and that's the rest of the story. But anyway, they have these dolls. It's going to be a massive hit movie. It's going to be huge. I already saw for Halloween, little girls were dressing up as Dorothy again, and witches. Well, they always dress up as witches, but girls were dressing up as Dorothy. So they're anticipating that this is going to be a huge cultural phenomenon. However, they made the dolls for the movie Wicked, and they put the wrong website on the box for the dolls. The website listed on the toy box, instead of linking to the webpage for the movie adaptation of the Tony Award-winning musical, starring Ariana Grande, Cynthia Erivo, Mattel has mistakenly listed the website of Wicked.com, which is an adult film site. Yes, right. Yeah, you need to go to WickedMovie.com. So just hear me out if you want to try this yourself, because if you're at work, you might get the block, like you know. So anyway, wickedmovie.com is where you find the Wicked movie. If you go to wicked.com, you're going to find a plethora of adult entertainment and a number of film parodies, including Captain Marvel XXX and Black Widow XXX, among others. So that's a big oops right there in the old division of Mattel with the manufacturing of this. There's an old, oof. I would not want to be the person who accidentally put Wicked on the box instead of Wicked Movie on the box and then has all these people now going to a porn site. Because right now everybody thinks, anyway, they think Hollywood's a bunch of pedophiles to begin with. This doesn't help. Welcome to Wicked.com, the ultimate destination for award-winning adult content. Join and get full access. Fantasia, Episode 4, Nymphs, Wicked, The 66th Day. It's all parodies, basically. The Last Resort, A New Beginning. Thank God they have A New Beginning. Just the Tip. The Hunger, Episode 4, Chris. I'm only on Episode 3. I got to catch up here to some of this stuff. Anyway, yeah, so that's a little bit of an oops right there. And speaking of Hollywood, by the way, an actor who's in the movie Joker 2 says it's the worst film ever made. And people on set said this is going to bomb. It's not even hate watchable. That's how terrible it is. So they took one of the greatest movie villains of all time, the Joker, and who was also running for president recently with a cackle. They took the Joker and they turned this into a weird musical Hollywood film noir movie. Now, if you remember when the first Joker movie with Joaquin Phoenix came out, I told you this was a steaming pile of garbage. And the only way they got it greenlit was because they made the character the Joker, but it's really just about a guy going crazy. That's all it is. I mean, really, the first Joker movie, his descent into madness, is every lefty posting a video and crying on social media today. Same thing. Descending into lefty chaos and descending into madness and then filming themselves doing it. That's basically the Joker movie. Well, this time around, he meets Harley Quinn, and it's basically a musical. But this guy went on Joe Rogan's podcast. He's a comedian named Tim Dillon, and he's got a blink and you'll miss it role in Joker Folie à Deux. Is that how you say it? Folie à Deux? As an Arkham Asylum security guard, he went on Joe Rogan and he trashed Todd Phillips' controversial Joker sequel as the worst film that has ever been made. The sequel earned mostly negative reviews. It's at 32% on Rotten Tomatoes for the critics and 32% from the audience. It's rare that the critics and the audience both hate a movie. Usually if the critics hate a movie, that means it's good. But like Reagan, for example, critics hated it, the audience loved it. But this case, now the critics hate it and the audience hates it too. It flopped at the box office with $58 million domestically and $204 million worldwide, a far cry from the 2019 original's billion-dollar gross. That's because people like me went to see the original movie and got duped into falling for some weird film noir movie, and not it did nothing to do with the Joker from the world of Batman. It's the worst film ever made, Dylan said. I think what happened after the first Joker, there was a lot of talk like, oh, this was loved by incels. This was loved by the wrong kinds of people. This sent the wrong kind of message. Male rage, nihilism, all these think pieces. And then I think, what if we went the other way and now we have Joaquin Phoenix and Lady Gaga tap dancing to a point where it's insane? It has no plot. We would sit there, me and here these other guys, we're all dressed in these security outfits because we're working at the Arkham Asylum. And I would turn to one of them and I'd hear this crap and I'd go, what the F is this? And they'd go, this is going to bomb, man. This is the worst thing I've ever seen. So he and the other actors, he's like, we're all talking about it at lunch. We'd go, where is the plot? Is there a plot? I don't know. I think he falls in love with her in the prison. It's not even hate watchable. That's how terrible it is. He went on to theorize that maybe the Joker sequel was a $200 million practical joke in how it directly played against everything fans loved about the original film. To some, that is the movie's biggest strength, including Quentin Tarantino. During a recent interview on the Bret Easton Ellis podcast, the Pulp Fiction Oscar winner raved about the sequel and said, Phoenix gives one of the best performances I've ever seen in my life. The Joker directed the movie, Tarantino said about the director and co-writer Todd Phillips. The entire concept, even him spending the studio's money, he's spending it like the Joker would spend it, all right? And then his big surprise gift, haha, the Jack in the Box, when he offers you his hand for a handshake and you get a buzzer with 10,000 volts shooting you, is the comic book geeks. He's saying F you to all of them. He's saying F you to the movie audience. He's saying F you to Hollywood. He's saying F you to anybody who owns any stock in DC and Warner Brothers. And Todd Phillips is the Joker. What he means here, essentially now, I guess, is this is another example of a filmmaker who hates his own audience, who hates the people that went to see the first Joker movie, I guess because they thought a lot of them were... I'm trying to, the incels, they at one point tied that to MAGA. I'm not exactly sure, but I think that's really where they're going with this, if I'm not mistaken. A steaming pile of crap. The Joker, folle à deux. Hollywood is in for a rough go of it now with Trump as president. I mean, you even had actor Michael Douglas come out over the weekend and say, Hollywood has become elites. The Democrat Party has become elites. But you think about the success of a show like Yellowstone, for example, how well that did, how well that's doing. I know the premiere was last night. Big shock. And what we talked about on Saturday night on Jimmy Fallon's show was what's going to happen with Hollywood now. And I think what you're going to see is you are going to see filmmakers and TV makers who wake up and realize there's an audience of 75 million people who have been lectured to, mocked, belittled, insulted by Hollywood, told that they were terrible, told they were the bad guy, bad woman, whatever. And there's a marketplace that appeals to them, whether it's movies like Reagan or whether it's The Sound of Silence or whether it's Yellowstone, and reach out to them and make content for them. I mean, The Daily Wire has been doing this. Actress Gina Carano, you know, Gina Carano is suing Disney. Her suit can go forward over getting fired over her tweets. She made a reference to COVID when everybody was falling into groupthink and how that was like what happened in Nazi Germany. She wasn't calling anybody Hitler or Nazis. That's what the left does to us. Gina Carano wasn't doing that. At the same time, though, the star of The Mandalorian, Pedro Pascal, literally did call Trump Hitler and Trump supporters Nazis, and he didn't get fired. But Gina Carano's a conservative, so she basically outed herself and then she was gone. Well, she's suing Disney, and a judge recently said that her lawsuit against Disney can go forward. Good for her. Good for her. Excellent work. Because it's got to stop. The nonsense has to stop. And there's a marketplace out there. If somebody can figure out how not to hate people and write good, compelling stories that doesn't mock and insult. Like, there's a line from the Batman movie, The Batman. Let's get away from these white privilege a-holes. She says that to Batman, who's Bruce Wayne, who's the biggest white privilege a-hole there is. Anyway, Let me tell you about DuckDuckGo. Get your tickets to see me and Fela for Wednesday night, all right? Because you want to do that. But privacy is everything in this day and age. And I'm telling you right now, if you don't have your phone, your online access secure with DuckDuckGo Privacy Pro, you're making a huge, huge mistake. So please do it today. Go to DuckDuckGo.com/1210. You're going to get a week, a 7-day free trial, and it comes with three privacy solutions for you. First is the VPN. You got to have a VPN. Protects you when you're online, whether you're at home or you are on the road. Okay. Secondly, you got to have, it's very, very important to have the privacy protection that DuckDuckGo affords with identity theft restoration if somebody ever steals your identity. And third is personal data removal. Get rid of your addresses, phone numbers, emails, and all the other things that are out there about you on the interwebs. So do it today. Look, we know there's hackers and scammers and people selling you. You are the product. Don't let that happen to you. Just go to DuckDuckGo.com today and sign up for Privacy Pro. It's only 10 bucks a month. That's a no-brainer. 10 bucks a month to have a secure VPN. And there's a lot of VPNs out there, but most of them are fugazis. This is from DuckDuckGo. It's the real deal. All right? DuckDuckGo.com/1210. Sign up today.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
The numbers for Trump in California are amazing, crushing, absolutely crushing. And of course, the woke district attorney, Gascon, loses his reelection bid. But Trump has done the best of any Republican in California since 2004. I mean, just amazing. Absolutely stunning how well he's done in California. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. You know, the question, of course, of should they have ever drop Joe Biden out of the race? Should they have ever turned around and shiv the old guy and got him out? So the podcast bros, the Pod Save America bros, they say that it's Biden's fault to begin with. Biden never should have run. So they've shifted because everybody's blaming each other in the Democrat Party right now. I mean, it's a gigantic, they're just all shooting at each other and blaming each other. And it's a glorious thing to watch, the blame game here. So the Obama people are blaming Biden. Biden's blaming the Obama people. Everybody hates Kamala Harris. It's just a giant circle firing squad. Here's Obama speechwriter Jon Favreau. Take a listen to this.
Joe Biden's decision to run for president again was a catastrophic mistake. It just was. And he and his inner circle, they refused to believe the polls. They refused to believe he was unpopular. They refused to acknowledge until very late that anyone could be upset about inflation. And they just kept telling us that his presidency was historic and it was the greatest economy ever. We just heard him again say that it's the greatest economy ever. Clearly, 70-80% of voters don't believe that. They don't believe that about their own personal financial situation, but they just keep telling us that. And then after the debate, the Biden people told us that the polls were fine and Biden was still the strongest candidate. And they were privately telling reporters at the time that Kamala Harris couldn't win. So they were shivving Kamala Harris to reporters while they told everyone else, not a time for an open process, and his vice president can't win, so he's the strongest candidate. Then we find out when the Biden campaign becomes the Harris campaign, that the Biden campaign's own internal polling at the time when they were telling us he was the strongest candidate showed that Donald Trump was going to win 400 electoral votes. That's what their own internal polling said. Joe Biden's.
So now it's the blame game. The Biden people want to blame, or I'm sorry, the Obama people want to blame Biden for running ever again. He never should have run for a second term. Bottom line, he should have got out of the race. But let's remember something, and they're not wrong. I mean, Biden was a terrible candidate. He had lost his mind by the time he announced re-election. But the minute that Biden decided to stay in the race, they were all complicit in covering up for him. That's why these people are a bunch of frauds. They were all complicit in covering up Biden's cognitive decline. I mean, the guy can barely walk. None of you watch him with that reflang. The happiest he's been is the other day announcing that he's going to do a peaceful transfer of power with Trump. But other than that, I mean, but these people, whether it's the media or it's the Biden people or it's the Obama people, they were all complicit in covering it up until it became too bad. It became to a point where they just couldn't hide it anymore. And then they got him out of the race. But they knew. And they also know about his corruption, too, and they covered that up. They knew about his corruption, his son's dealings with Ukraine and China and all the other. They knew about all that, and they still covered it up in 2020 with the Hunter Biden laptop letter. That's it. I mean, that's the bottom line. And when you look at how well Trump did in different demographic areas, voters under 30, a 12-point shift to Donald Trump. Black voters, a 15-point shift to Donald Trump. Hispanic voters, a 38-point shift to Donald Trump. Asian voters, 32-point shift to Donald Trump. New York, 11-point shift to Trump. California, 11-point shift to Trump. New Jersey, 11-point shift to Trump. Massachusetts, 9-point shift to Trump. Maryland, 9-point shift to Trump. Illinois, 8-point shift to Donald Trump. Remarkable. I mean, if you look at the country, if you really do, if you look at the map of the country and how much red is out there, somebody put a great piece on X. They said they won't admit it, but Trump has united the country. And the blue areas of the country, those blue areas, which we see, are really where the elites of this country live. The divide could not be more clear. There's the coastal elites, pockets of blue in cities, and then a gigantic mass of red from sea to shining sea. And it really shows you how the Democrat Party has become the party of the faculty lounge and the coastal elites. But I mean, the campaign was so stupid, too. You know, I mean, the fact that Bob Brady, chairman of the Philadelphia Democrat Party since 1986, was completely ignored by the Harris campaign, unlike any Democrat nominee in decades. He never once spoke to Kamala. This is a guy who runs the most crucial Democrat machine in the most crucial city in the most crucial state that you had to win, and he never even heard from her.
We lost. We lost the election. You know, I would have liked to have seen the Harris campaign, especially the national campaign, coordinate with us a little bit, talk to us a little bit, give us a little bit more resources, you know, show us some respect. Didn't happen. Didn't happen. They were just elitists and went out there, did their own thing, and didn't include Democratic City Committee, our wardens, or our committee people. They just didn't do it.
When did you start having a concern about that?
Probably when they first nominated her, and I had a conversation with them, and they just blew me off. You know, I've never talked to her. Imagine, not that I'm somebody that I got no ego, I don't have an ego, but at least talk to him. I am the chairman of the Democratic Party for almost 40 years. I did bring numbers in for every other president. You know, never even had a conversation with her. Never got invited to many. I got invited secondhand to one or two things, you know. And then the one thing I got invited to, like the Parkway, I got invited on the Parkway on the Monday night before election for like 4 hours. I can't do that. I'm out there, you know, putting out fires, you know. They just didn't show the respect. They didn't show our respect. And I would imagine.
Hey, look, you know, wouldn't you think that you'd go to a guy who was a congressman who controls the Democrat machine in the city of Philadelphia and kiss the ring? Wouldn't you at least do that? This is, I mean, that's politics 101, but it's the arrogance of that. They think, well, we don't have to talk to Bob Brady. Screw him. We don't have to deal with these local yokels. So he gets invited to go to the Parkway and hang out with Oprah and probably get VIP seats, and that's not what he wants. He's dealing with them with the outreach effort and the get out the vote effort. Doesn't hear from anybody. Because they're arrogant. They're arrogant a-holes. They don't even call him.
Not only in the city of Philadelphia, but not only did they show the respect throughout the state of Pennsylvania, probably steamrolled all that for the rest of the country. That was the kind of campaign that they ran, you know, especially on a short campaign. Don't you want to go to people that have a proven record and know how to do this stuff and
yes.
That can help you along with it?
Of course.
Didn't happen.
What can you point to that you say is different than the way the Biden campaign in 2020 operated in the city? That was a pandemic, but what do you think the difference was?
The Hillary campaign, the Obama campaign, the Bill Clinton campaign, the Biden campaign worked hand in hand with us. Their campaigns worked hand in hand. They talked to us. They said, what do we need to do? Should we go here? Every one of those campaigns, Obama, Clinton, both Clintons, and Biden, actually Biden's my personal friend, they worked hand in hand with us. They didn't necessarily do everything I wanted them to do, but they asked our opinion. Harris, the campaign, never talked to us, never.
I mean, that's just political malpractice, is it not? Political malpractice. I don't think it would have made a difference. I really don't. I mean, I don't think there's anything Bob Brady could have done to change the trajectory of this. But it shows you the incredible arrogance. And there was a story in Politico a month ago or so where I guess it was this story about how Josh Shapiro and the Democrats in Pennsylvania were not helping the Harris campaign, and there was all this back and forth, and you know what I mean? And so I think that's true. I think that Josh Shapiro basically pulled his punches here. He did not, in any way, shape, or form, want her to win, no doubt about it. He didn't want her to win. He wanted her to go down and lose. But just think about, and now he's going to run in 2028. I mean, the primary is basically underway. The primary is basically underway. So Shapiro didn't want to be associated with that. And now we have news stories about that where they're saying that. They're literally saying that Josh Shapiro called up the Kamala Harris people and they were like, hey, we don't want to run. He didn't want to be associated with that losing campaign, bottom line. All right, listen, have a great rest of your night tonight. Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla is up next. Get your tickets now to our speaker series Wednesday night. If you haven't done so, do it now. 1210WPHT.com. 1210WPHT.com. Tickets are selling out. There's not going to be many left. It will sell out by Wednesday for sure. So do it now. Thank you. If you served our country, if you are a veteran, I am so grateful. We are grateful. We appreciate you very, very much. Thank you for everything you've done for our country. God bless you and God bless America. Have a great rest of your night tonight. We'll see you tomorrow at 3 on Talk Radio 1210. Keep the conversation going on X at Rich Zeoli. Thank you.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.